P1 going into the first corner. And yeah, from there on, car was working fine. I think the crucial point for me this weekend was really the semifinal move on Seb. So that was very, very important. And other than that, I think the team also have done a fantastic job during the weekend to bring me and Molly up to speed as well, because we wasn't really 100% on pace when we arrived here, if we were sandbagging or not. But anyway, we managed to pick up the pace on the crucial moments. So in the end, we won. So happy days.
Now, you've had real consistency here over the last couple of events. Well, the first couple of events, you've seen your teammates in the, well, that your challenges in the series have either bad luck or mechanical issues. Obviously, you had your sanction in the first race, but there's been real consistency there. The car has performed well. Is that, what's that down to, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we have been able to also manage the pace a little bit and trying to keep the car in one piece and not going completely crazy. And because you get so big penalized if you are not able to finish a race. So it was a well-balanced weekend. And yeah, we were fast when we needed to, and we were able to do the overtakings and good starts when we needed to.
Wonderful. Right. Any questions from here? Matthew.
Hi, Molly. Congratulations on the win. Could you just talk me through that sort of first corner collision? It looked like you maybe hit a sand and it changed your line. What's your perspective?
So we obviously got on the inside coming up to T1. So, you know, I had the inside of the corner, and then it's quite a steep bank as you go through there. So you're just trying to keep the car in as tight as you can through there. But I mean, as we've seen in you know, all the races, it's, you know, you're really having to manage the car. So we tried to manage as best as I could and keep in. And yeah, unfortunately, made some contact. But yeah, it's close racing.
We've got some questions from Zoom, which I'm going to go to next. This is, compared to last time, there were four teams in the final instead of just three. Did you notice any difference to the style of racing, or did you have to prepare any differently?
I mean, that was the first time I started and the first time we've done four, so I have nothing to compare it to. But, you know, from what we've seen in the semis, you know, obviously with the less dust, we were able to see some overtaking and see generally closer racing throughout the whole lap. So it really, you know, kept everything to play for the whole way through the races, which I think was great.
Yeah, I think there's space enough to have four cars. I mean, it's no problem, and especially with almost no dust as we had here. I mean, in Alula, it wouldn't change anything if we were two or nine cars. It would be very difficult in the dust anyway. But here, you could have been, you know, four or five or whatever cars, because you can bring close racing all the way around the lap. So, like in my semifinal, I think we were in a couple of 50 meters or whatever. So, really a great racing, I have to say.
And we talked early on in the before we started racing, that this track had the potential to change a lot and evolve the more that we raced on it. How do you feel it did evolve over the weekend?
Yeah, certainly, you know, being this soft sand, the multiple cars going through and you know, all the sort of braking compressions and the landing, it's getting rougher and rougher, and then people adjusting lines and finding a bit more grip, and then that gets rougher. So, yeah, I mean, that's where we're not on racetracks, so it's not really a controllable surface that we're racing on. So it's, you know, part of the challenge that it's, you know, everything's new and everything's adapting as you go.
Any other questions from here? Adam? Pete? So Mike coming for you.
Thank you. Congratulations to both of you today. Of course, speed is of the essence when you're on and off the road, but you've also been taking part in the Count Us In challenge and ranking very highly in that, of course. What kind of behaviours have you been pursuing to be more sustainable while out here?
While here or in general?
In general.
Yeah, so I mean, the Count Us In challenge is, you know, a great initiative, and it's great that we're all taking part. And I think the one of the really cool things and important things about it is there's so many different options. So really, you know, for us, it's a learning exercise and being more conscious in everyday decisions, knowing that there's alternatives, knowing what impact things have. And I suppose for me personally, one of the biggest changes that I've made is with our you know, power for our home and things like that, and going to energy providers that are invested in sustainable technologies. And then you know, and then on a smaller level, day-to-day level, you know, trying to eat locally. Obviously in Australia, it's a big country, so you know, the transportation of produce and things like that, you know, trying to eat less meat, trying to walk and cycle more, just all these little things. And being able to share that to a broader audience just means that it's front of mind for everybody.
Thank you.
I didn't hear it earlier, but Nico mentioned there was a small fault that was fixed to give increased straight line performance. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that was fixed?
Nico just did some massively good updates with his laptop on the car. So he brought some software from Formula One. So yeah, just gave us that extra speed on the straight with the DRS. So no, I don't know, to be honest, but the car was fast and that was good.
Awesome. And obviously Nico's here. He's been supporting you through both races here on the ground. He's a very hands-on team owner. How important is that to feel that support from the top?
I have to say that's nice. I like to have the discussions with Nico and, you know, bringing up all the ideas. And I mean, obviously he have a lot of experience and he likes to be in the moment of competition as well. And yeah, he's used to it. And I think he also likes the position he's in now and he wants to be involved. And it's always good to have someone to discuss different things with and so on. So yeah, I think that's great.
Any other questions from here? Let's check here. Okay, well, congratulations, enjoy. I think you've already been in the sea. You've already had some champagne. Any plans for celebrations here tonight?
Yeah, we have some plans.
I might see you there. Oh, wow. We've brought the ocean inside a little bit, but come and sit down if you dare. Hi Jamie, hi Stefan. Wow, today sitting, I think going from Saudi Arabia to sitting here on the podium in second place, you couldn't have done much differently compared to your first race. Stefan, is this feeling of like a bit of redemption?
Yeah, it's just amazing because we had a tough weekend for the first race when I had a massive crash. So it was really difficult for us because we were quick, we were on the pace, and I did a mistake, as I said last day. So small mistake, but big effect. So this weekend, the plan was really to don't do any mistake, clean weekend. We improved the setup of the car. Run by run, and we need mileage. We need to learn the car. The team need to learn also. So we approach the weekend like that, and we're happy too. So it's just amazing.
And Jamie, you got your first race weekend in Extreme E, and you held your own. You were there in the first kind of tussle with the male and female racing, and you really held Ollie Bennett off. Well, you overtook him, and you must be feeling very, very pleased.
Yeah, I've just really enjoyed the weekend. It's, like Stefan said, we went into the weekend with a bit of a plan of we needed the track time. The car wasn't where we needed it to be at the beginning. And I think even, you know, we lacked a bit of seat time. So our pace wasn't necessarily outright quickest. So we just focused on our plan and just went through the motions. And I think Extreme E is such a crazy, crazy championship that, yeah, to take P2 with the alternate strategy as well was, yeah, I think, a massive, massive thanks to the team, and I'm just so grateful that, yeah, we've managed to get through the weekend and obviously get podium.
And early on in the race, it was the very first aspect with those four cars pulling off. You got caught between, I think it was JBXE and maybe X44, and there was some real contact there, and you dropped back. How stressful was that at the start of the race?
Yes, I took a good start. Reaction time was good. I was, I think, going to take the lead more or less, and suddenly Christina decided to go to the left and Michaela to the right. So they approached me, and suddenly quite a big hit in both sides. So Michaela was really going on sideways, so I didn't want to push her and rolling, so I released the throttle and I went to the left, completely to the left, so I lost quite a lot. But I use hyperdrive, I catch a bit, and end of straight line, I went completely wide to cross everybody. And I end up after the turn one P2 because they had an issue also. They touch, I think, each other. So it was a tough start, but after I catch Molly, and the team told me to don't take a crazy risk because I didn't know why, but don't take crazy risk. So I didn't try to overtake her, but I was looking for, and she was fast. So I catch her in entry of the pit. I really brake late and I was in a bumper, so it was good. And after it was red flag, so the race changed, but we were quite quick. The car improved a lot. Car was very good, so it's very promising for the next race.
And just going back to semi-final two, I mean, the fact that you guys made it to the final, I think there was a limiter light on your car for quite a lot of that race. That must have been incredibly stressful, and you also still made it through. Can you tell us what went on there?
Yeah, in semi-final two, the aim was obviously to make it through to the final, but the pit limiter kept activating on the exit of quite a few corners. So, yeah, I got past Bennett at the beginning, and then, yeah, he'll catch me up quite a lot because the car's trying to slow down to a pit limiter. So, yeah, that was a bit frustrating, a little bit stressful. But, I think ultimately, just to have made it to the final, we were happy with, to be honest, which is really bad because I think as racing drivers, we always want to win, but this championship is just... it's so tough, and I think we're so new to it as a team, but as drivers, we're learning constantly. So I'm just so grateful that we got to the final, and then, yeah, to end up P2 is pretty crazy.
Definitely. Any questions here? Matt, have you got any questions? No? Pete? Yep. No. Okay, I'm going to just check Zoom because there are some coming in. So question for Jamie, how different is it to race on a terrain like this as opposed to a single seater? I'm going to guess completely different. And does it change your objectives?
It's very, very different. And I'm constantly learning. And I think I can't really underestimate that. But I think everyone is. It's new for everyone. I'm really, really enjoying the challenge. And I think the coolest thing for me this weekend was, it didn't happen in the end, but I nearly had the chance to be racing wheel to wheel with the likes of Sebastian Loeb, Johan and Kevin Hansen, which, yeah, to ever have thought that was just going to happen is crazy. So yeah, I'm enjoying every minute. It's tough. The challenge isn't easy, but I'm enjoying it.
I've got another question here. Margot, Stefan, how much of the weekend was driving against the other teams, and how much of it was mastering the course and the car?
Sorry.
How much of the race weekend, the emphasis was on racing the other teams or mastering the course, trying to find the right lines?
Yeah, in fact, we had to improve during the weekend both our line, because we did the Ricky and we chose some line, but it was not the optimum one. But we had to improve the car a lot also. So we did both. We work really well with Jamie on it. We shared the information, and at the end, we was really in a good line. But on this stage, it was very good because we can have different line. We can overtake. It was really a good choice. But Yuta and Timo did a really good job. I mean, on the layout, it was really a good one.
Now, until the next race, there's a 3-month gap, and I know Jamie, you're constantly trying to get as much time and experience in this kind of terrain and as possible. Are there any plans for the team over the next 3 months to prepare for the Arctic?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a long 3 months, but I think preparation, I think we'll always be pushing hard to train at the moment. Yeah, Greenlands, I think, looks to be quite a different challenge to what we've experienced. So for me, it's just I want to be able to jump in anything and be quick. So just the skill set that Stefan's teaching me so much of whatever we drive, something different all the time, I think, is what we're going to continue to work on. And yeah, see what comes at us in the next race.
Okay, well, I think we can let you go and enjoy your celebrations. And
thank you.
And, yeah, really, really well done. We're really happy for you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, just before we bring up our third place podium finishers, we're going to have Nico Rosberg join us.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Nico.
Thanks for making the way all the way to Senegal. It's so cool. I get to be in a press conference. I didn't see that coming in my life. I thought press conferences were done for me.
Normally people are quite happy not to be in press conferences from a driver's perspective.
Now I'm quite happy to be in a press conference.
Well, welcome. That's great. Nico, 2 for 2. You must be absolutely chuffed.
Yeah, but really, like, it's not to be underestimated, the challenge that was out there this weekend. It's so difficult because nobody understands the cars properly because you're not you don't test them. So you have to guess and figure things out. And as a team, we're really trying to bring some Formula One approach to Extreme E here. And that's really, I mean, really helping us as a team to perform in the way we're doing. So it's been an amazing team effort, just building it up through the weekend. You know, it's fantastic. and so cool as well that like today it was really like in Alula it was Johan very much who did it at the start. Molly brought it home, and today it's Molly who made the magic in the final, and then Johan brought it home, and that's so cool, that dynamic, which is really the topic of equality. That's what it's based on, huh? and that's lovely to see. Really, I think it's fantastic.
We got to see some super close and exciting racing today. This course really kind of brought out the best of the Extreme E format. Do you agree with that? Do you think that was the case?
Yeah, no, it's been, I mean, it's definitely, we can all agree it was a big step forward from Alula in terms of development for the excitement. But still, it's early stages and there's still further steps that will be done. One needs to analyze again and I think we keep on seeing more and more glimpses of like such awesome motor racing. And we will, I mean, this will evolve into a huge spectacle. The more we go, I'm very sure of that.
And compared to F1, this is such a different experience. I mean, we're in the very early stages of Extreme E, where actually we are creating changes to the sporting format as we go. You know, we've created the supersets now, the four car finals.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine, and you have to do that. It's a startup. It has to be accepted by everybody. Nobody's ever done this before. So you have to be open-minded and accept that you're going to learn and you're going to work towards making it more and more exciting. So this weekend, they made a fantastic job and now we're able to really race each other. There's still a little bit of progress to be made and maybe opening up like different paths and opportunities. So you really see cars even more often going side by side in the middle of the track. That's kind of the next step. I think this has potential to be so damn exciting, the racing, and we saw many, many glimpses of that already this weekend again. Unfortunately, then the after turn one in the final, but that's the way it is in racing sometimes, huh? You can't always have everything, because the cars breaking down, it wasn't a great race to watch after that. But that's just because of the circumstances, and it could have been, and next race is likely to be very different and very, very exciting throughout the whole race. Then
I was gonna say, in the next race we're getting out of the sand and into the Greenland Arctic, where nobody has raced before. How do you prepare as a team for a challenge that no one's really faced before?
No, it's such a big challenge. We go from the heat here to the freezing cold Greenland, different terrain, different everything again, with a car that nobody really knows anything about, because we only we've done a handful of laps overall, you know. So but that's really the special thing about this also. That's really it's really hard. And I come from pretty advanced tough motorsports, and this is hard.
And with really seeing you kind of enjoy your role as team principal, were you expecting to be so involved, so emotionally invested? How has it been for you on the sidelines there?
Well, I'm never going to change. You know, I'm competitive as hell. So, and that's the same here. And that's always going to be like that. So therefore, no, I like to be involved and support where I can. Of course, I mean, I have such a vast experience. So I'm trying to support wherever I can. I always have to be careful that I don't intervene too much. So it's a fine line. But also it's a new challenge for me because I've never been on this opposite side of the role. And I've always, now I look back and when I used to criticize Toto, now I'm like, oh shit, okay, maybe I shouldn't have criticized him. It's actually quite difficult to be in that role. And also in the way you interact with the drivers, it's hard to understand what the path is to be most supportive. But at the same time, it's very it's interesting. It's really interesting.
So you have two fantastic drivers there, but do you ever feel like you want to be out there racing? Is that tough, or are you enjoying being on the decision-making side?
No, I'm quite happy in this role for now. And anyways, we've got the two best drivers in the car, so they're going to do a better job than me anyway. So we'll leave it at that.
Any questions for Nico at all?
Lieber Nico, erstmal herzlichen Glückwunsch
für den Erfolg.
Yeah, okay. So, do you think you've learned anything from this race that can apply to your tactics as a Formula One driver from this type of rally racing?
Can apply to my tactics? I mean, probably yes. In the way I would speak to the boss of the team, because now I'm the boss myself, and I'm learning a lot being on that side. And so it's really interesting for me to be in that role, and I'm learning stuff there.
And Nico, everything seems to be going very well for the team so far, compared to many others in this series. But what has been the greatest challenge so far for you as and the team?
the greatest challenge is avoiding mistakes. It's so easy to make a mistake. I mean, just now, we're on the pre-grid and Molly's radio doesn't work. So then you're not even able to tell her which pit box she has to stop at. So then you get a penalty, you finish last. And her radio's not working, we can't get to the car. Full panic mode. And then again, like, what do I take? What do I do? What is my role now? Do I like, am I active or just, am I, it's so hard in that panic situation to then, so somehow then it managed to get going again, but she couldn't, she could only hear us. She couldn't speak back, which was good enough. But it's all these situations that you it's really about avoiding mistakes. And that is so hard, so much new stuff. And that's one of the biggest challenges. And then at the same time, be fast. And we were not, in the beginning of this weekend, we were not the fastest out there, you know? So we really had to learn and make quick progress. And again, you just have a couple of laps. So those are the kind of challenges we're facing.
And obviously we're sitting here, you're top of the table. You've won the opening two races. What does success actually mean for you? And what does it look like? Because I don't think it's just about what's going on the track, is it, for you and your team?
Yeah, so on the track, we want to fight for the championship from the get-go, of course, and that's what we're doing. But the beauty of this is that the better, the bigger the fight, of course, we're using it all as a vehicle to have a positive impact. And this is also the reason why I'm here, because I love the combination of those two things. Fighting like crazy on the racetrack, competing flat out, and then having impact alongside. And this is the essence of Extreme E, and this is why we're all here. And that's perfect. So, I mean, and it's cool. Like, the, I mean, 1 million mangroves have now been planted. 1 million, that's a massive number. And so those are the kind of things we can be proud of as a platform, as a championship. So F1 has just done 1 million plastic bottles avoiding. And we've done 1 million mangroves, and this is the direction that sports needs to go. And that's and we really want to trailblaze here. So we're doing the same with the team ourselves. We have our own projects. So on Friday, I was working with the Prince Albert II of Monaco Foundation, fighting against some of the drought here by using satellite technology, supporting the locals. And so it's all these kind of things, and it's a proud feeling.
Awesome. Any other questions from here? Awesome. Well, huge congratulations, Nico.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you very much.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Michaela.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. Yeah, they went in the sea, so it's, your seat is a little wet and sandy, I'm afraid.
No worries.
There we go. So, after a mixed fortune of a weekend, you've ended up on the podium in P3. You must be feeling slightly disappointed that you didn't get your full final shot today, but also pretty happy that, you know, we've bettered the position from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, we are super happy overall with the performance over the weekend. It's been great improvement each session by session. Working with Kevin has been, yeah, really good. It's a shame to just make it to turn one, of course, in the final. You're looking forward to make a good final, hand over the car to Kevin, but in the end, to be P3, we're so happy about that.
And was it that first contact early on when the race got off to the start, which really killed it for you?
Yeah, so it was the contact. And then after that, I felt that the car was slowing down. And then after a few hundred meters, I heard a big noise, and then it was almost impossible to drive. But I tried to take it as far as possible, and that is what gave us P3 in the end.
Well, I guess on the positives, you're here on P3. Also, you had a fantastic semi-final too. You ran away with it. You put on a really strong performance together. This duo has real potential, right?
What do you say, Kevin?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't have any expectations coming to the weekend. I just knew we had to work really hard to be competitive. And I think we have done that for the past, I think, 12 days. We are known we're going to race together. And I think the team has done a great job to make progress with the car. I mean, it was kind of a rough start for them in Alula. And I think to come here and almost start over, it's been really nice. And I'm happy to have helped them this weekend. And in the end, to get a podium is really good. I mean, sometimes it's about a few hundreds in the races to get a win or a podium. And today it was about getting the car as far as possible after a problem. So, I mean, we'll take that. And the team is super happy to have some trophies. And next up is Greenland. And, you know, it's good for them that we are a lot better.
And obviously it's very early back where it is with Jensen at the moment, but has he had any words of congratulations for you guys yet? Is he awake yet?
Yeah, he's improved our performance this weekend, so he's super happy for us.
Awesome. And Kevin, does this make you itch to stay in the seat? Do we have any idea whether we'll see you back in the Arctic yet?
I have no idea if I'm going to be out there next race, but I know this weekend went great and that's all I can do. I'm ready for more races and I'm ready to be, you know, in a seat at full time. I think I proved my point this weekend. And if that is with Michaela or with someone else, I'm happy to continue.
Awesome. Any questions for Kevin or Michaela? Yeah, Adam.
Hi, what broke specifically on the car? Was it the suspension and the drive shaft?
Yeah, that's exactly what broke.
Okay, obviously the first race that we had in Saudi Arabia, there was some issues with the car. It seemed better this time until that collision, which was obviously unavoidable for you. Is there more confidence that the car is performing better now?
I would say we found a much better setting for how we want the car to perform. Like Kevin said already, when we found out we were going to drive together, we actually went practicing together in Sweden to see our driving styles, and they're quite similar. So we want the car to be quite similar in handling. And that's the way we developed the car, tested the car during the weekend and made changes actually to each session, which improved. So I think it was that work with the team that made us feel comfortable in the end, and when you feel comfortable and you can rely on the car, that's when you can push and be quick.
Absolutely. Matt, any questions?
Your engineers, I guess, are more used to circuit racing, British GT. So how much have you two really had to push them on to get the car set up right?
Well, Connor is a great guy, and we have two more engineers also in the team, and they've done a great job. I mean, you just have to take what you know and go into the race weekend and do everything you can, and they've done a great job. I mean, of course, they don't have so much experience in off-road, but they know a lot about car setup, and I think so far that has worked fine. So let's see for the future what we do.
Any other questions from the room at all? Okay, wonderful. Well, congratulations. Great to see you on the podium and look forward to another strong race in the Arctic.
Thanks, Julia.
No worries.
Thanks,
Thank
everyone.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Julia.
Okay, everyone, that closes out our press conference here in Senegal at the Ocean Prix. Thank you so much, as ever, for joining us, and hope to see you, I was going to say, soon. We've got a three-month gap until our next race in the Arctic, so lots of excitement to come, reaching that midway point in the season. I hope you agree that today we saw some super exciting racing. We got to see some real multi-car duels. We got some real wheel-to-wheel action, and we can't wait to see what the next race brings. So thank you forever for supporting us. Thank you. Bye.